from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
It's time now to go beyond the headlines. And for the next 2 hours, go where every sports fan wants to go. Behind the scenes and into the practice facilities, locker rooms, coaches' offices, and press boxes to get the info before anyone else. This is the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Hey, good morning. Good morning. Happy Friday. Happy Friday out there to you and you and you and you, not you and you. James, happy Friday to you, man. Welcome into the show, everybody. It's the All-Star break. What do we do now?
We don't watch basketball.
What do I don't really know what to do with myself. I'm gonna have to find some college stuff to watch.
Yeah.
I know Caitlin Clark is must-see TV. Congratulations to her. She set the new NCAA women's record for career points. That was pretty cool, and she did so with a 3 from like a step beyond the logo, because why not?
It's yeah, 49 points, right?
Yeah, just yeah. light work. Yeah. I believe it was the Iowa school record for points in a game. So she set that at the same time she was setting the career points mark. this is amazing what she's doing, and what she's doing for kind of the growth of the women's sport is really, really cool. The other thing, James, I want to talk to you about before we'll get to All-Star Weekend stuff. We'll talk about some of the NBA action last night, and then we'll kind of spin forward what we're looking at in the Western Conference throughout, you know, what we've seen in the first half, what we expect to see in the second half. We'll give our midseason awards. We'll do all that jazz. But before we get to that, James, I would like your reaction to finding out that Rob Manfred is getting a 5-year extension and will be the MLB commissioner until 2029.
Yeah.
G-rated. We're on the radio.
I was really hoping that that he would retire 2 years ago. I just think he's a pathetic excuse for a moron and shouldn't be anywhere near professional sports. Just an absolute trash, cow down to bad owners, commissioner that, again, is an embarrassment to the game of baseball in a way that I don't think there's ever been outside of maybe Pete Rose. Just an absolute tool, and I wish that he would have retired last year. Oh, but hey, good for him. 5-year extension.
Dude, he is... there's like historical stuff that I'm not 100% on, so I can't confidently say that Rob Manfred would be the worst commissioner in sports ever, but I will say that he is probably the worst commissioner in any sport in my lifetime, and that's saying. You have to go a ways to do that.
Yeah, especially with the NFL commissioner being not great either.
Yeah, Goodell is pretty bad, but the stuff with Manfred goes beyond. I'm going to move the A's aspect of this, because obviously you and I are biased because of our ties to that team. I'm going to remove that entirely and think of that entirely. It comes down to just not understanding what needs to happen to make baseball grow.
Yeah.
And to help the sport. Like, honestly, and I didn't hate the rule changes, actually. I don't think that they were ultimately bad for the sport, whether it's the pitch clock or the bigger base, or the, eliminating the shift, whatever. I think that stuff is all ultimately and would ultimately be good over a 10 or 15 year save, whatever. The problem I have is the stuff like the marketing of players and the marketing of the sport and just not understanding the, so they have licensed out their apparel to Fanatics. And the jerseys are now made by this company, and they look terrible. They look really, really bad. If you go Google 2024 MLB uniforms, you can find photos. They look fake. They look like ones that you would buy out on J Street after a game.
Or they get given away a giveaway night.
Right. Sure. That's a great example.
Yeah.
So they don't. They look cheap. They look bad. They don't look like something I want to buy and wear on my body. And you have Rob Manfred like, well, these have been tested more than any other jersey and their performance wear. And after the players wear them for a while, people will start to like them. Like, that's your strategy? It belied a cluelessness that I don't think bodes well for the future of the sport for the next 5 years, because the guy leading the way doesn't know what people want and what people are looking for. Maybe people do want to buy a Julio Rodriguez jersey, and they go into the team store and it's $175 to buy a piece of crap. Like, nobody's going to do that.
Yeah.
And now you're limiting the growth of the sport in that way. And I know that sounds silly. It's like, it's a jersey people are going to wear around, but that stuff matters, especially to a casual fan that may not be tapped into 140 games a year. But they want to pay attention to five, and they want to pay attention to the playoffs, and they want to wear a Julio Rodriguez jersey to say, like, yeah, I'm a Mariners fan, but they're not tapped in all the way. He's just losing fans that baseball desperately needs.
Yeah.
And he's doing so because he stinks at his job.
It feels a little bit like he's George Costanza. You know, he's like, he's coming up with the cotton jersey that shrinks and doesn't breathe in the heat. Like, it's just, it's comical. It is like a Seinfeld act. For me, it really does come down to, like, when you are a commissioner, you are a steward for the game. You're only there for a finite amount of time, and once that time is up, you should have left the sport better than it was when you got it. And I just don't see any way in which that is the case with Rob Manfred.
I agree.
Like, he has not left the sport in a better place. The fact that he sped it up, but, like, he does the stupidest things. Like, Major League Baseball limits what even their partners, so a partner like NBC Sports Bay Area, they limit them to how many highlight clips they can put on the internet for no reason, because they want to control it.
Silly.
But it's the stupidest thing ever, because they're not being able to connect with their fan base, because you can't see all the highlights that happen like you can in the NBA. Like, as soon as somebody dunks in the NBA, not only is it put out by the television station that has the rights, but then it's like put out by so many other people. No, Major League Baseball puts a kibosh on all of that. They restrict everything, and they just don't get it. They don't get it at all. And like, it just feels like they're so caught in like an old man's game. And, like, just move forward. Like, figure it out. Yeah. Like, that's part of, like, our job, what we do here. You can't just, as you age in this arena as like, a media member, you have to pick up things and start doing things that are, like, really uncomfortable as far as, like, work product. You have to create a different way. When I stepped into this job, I looked around and, you know, Sacramento Bee's got three reporters there and a cameraman and access to Getty Photos, and then you got your radio station people that have three deep, and I'm there by myself. I ended up being a one-man band. I got to take my own photos. I've got to write long form. I've got to write short form. I've got to start a podcast so I can compete with all of these different things. Like, that's what you have to do. You have to grow. You have to learn. You have to be part of an evolving media world. And I just feel like Major League Baseball, under his tutelage, has just died on the vine. Like, you just don't get it. You don't know how to connect. You don't know how to connect to anyone. You're losing out to soccer. You're losing out to all of these other sports that are coming up, and you have no way to fix it because you got a guy who realistically is just he's just not the guy. He's just not the one.
Imagine a newspaper writer. You wrote for the they cover the Kings for the Sacramento Bee. This is a mythical person. I genuinely am not picking. They've been in Sacramento since the Kings got here, and that's what they've done. They've covered the Kings for the Bee, except they only write for print. And they won't get on social media, and they won't, they'll do a radio hit before the game, but they won't go on TV, and they won't do a podcast, and they're going to rely on, hey, people are going to pick up the newspaper and read my column. Like, imagine that in 2024, that wouldn't fly. And that's basically what baseball is trying to do. And I don't know.
Yeah.
No, I fear for the future of the sport.
Yeah, I do too. I do too. It's not a sport that is going to grow. It doesn't have a connection to multiple generations like it used to. It doesn't reach out to different cultures and to different walks of life. It just doesn't. And it's paying the price because of it.
I could do we only have a couple of minutes here, and there's one more thing I want to get to, but I could do a whole diatribe about the issues baseball has, just as a, not Major League Baseball, but baseball as a whole has with like access and barriers to entry for kids.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you're not playing travel ball by the time you're 12 years old now, you're screwed. You're gonna fall so far behind.
It's more like nine. It's more like nine. Yeah. I mean, you try coaching competitive soccer and a 12-year-old walks up and tries out for the team, and you got 15 kids that have been there for 3 years working all these skills. Like they're years behind. They're hundreds and hundreds of hours, maybe even thousands of hours behind. There's no way to make that up. Yeah, it's very difficult.
Nope. Yeah, and it's even harder probably in baseball. Let's real quick before we get out of here, Jimmy Garoppolo is being suspended. It was announced today as being suspended 2 games for performance enhancing substances or violating the NFL's performance enhancing substance policy. That was according to ESPN's Adam Schefter. The Raiders were expected to release him before the fifth day of the new league year, which begins, I believe, March 13th. Then he would have been guaranteed $11.25 million. So that would have been void anyway because of the suspension, but the Raiders are going to release him anyway to try and save that money. Tough go for Jimmy Garoppolo.
Yeah, you got to wonder if it was like he's trying to smooth out the crow's feet or something. Like,
I'm guessing it was something he took recovering from an injury. I haven't gotten to dive all the way into the story yet, but
he's like, I'm a ridiculously good-looking man. I probably should darken my hair. But he used the product that has the performance-enhancing drugs in them.
That's it.
And now, you know, that's had to have been what happened.
Yeah, I feel for him. All right, let's hit the pause button briefly. We don't have any NBA games really to talk about. We'll talk a little bit about the Warriors win over the Jazz last night as it pertains to the Warriors' place in the West. Let's take a look around the West. What teams have been surprising? What teams have been disappointing? We're going to do a second half reset or a pre-second half reset today, taking a look at around the NBA, not just the Kings. We'll take a long look at the Kings as well, but we're going to look around the NBA too and just kind of see how things are shaking out through the first 50 plus games as we enter the All-Star break. That's James. I'm Kyle. We're the Insiders. We're sponsored by Jiffy Lube, and we're rocking with you till noon on ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Leader.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen. Brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
All right, we're back in here. Gonna talk. I wish I could remember the joke I had for the top of this segment, and now I can't remember what it was. Damn. I had a good joke for the top.
Can't start this segment until you get the joke off.
No, I know. That's what I. Now I'm sitting here and I'm trying to vamp until I remember what it is.
Oh, no.
That's brutal. That's tough for me.
You can do it, Kyle.
That's a tough go. That's fine. Second half, first half, NBA. There we go. I'm not going to get this joke off, guys. I'm sorry. Let's take a look around the NBA. We spend so much time focused on the Kings. That's one of the issues of our 2-hour show, is I feel like we don't get to crack into the rest of the league as much as we might like.
Yeah.
So we're going to take an opportunity to do that today. Again, a little bit later on in the show, a deep dive on the Kings first half, taking a look at what went right, what didn't, and what they need to do better going into the second half. But let's talk Western Conference and really just kind of the rest of the NBA, James. And let's talk about some of these surprising things we've seen from both the good and the bad. So maybe surprising and disappointing things we've seen, because I think at the top of the list for me is a team you and I talked about quite a bit in the preseason, because we figured they would potentially be in the mix for a final playoff spot in the West, and that was the Timberwolves.
Mm-hmm.
Because there were a lot of people very high on them in the preseason. I don't think you were that bought in. I was not that bought in, but they seem to have figured it out. And I don't know where you land on this, but I keep waiting for the shoe to drop with them where it just kind of hits the fan and they have a really rough stretch and they wind up as like a 4 or 5 seed. And they're maybe a first or second round exit, but it really looks like they figured it out. They're playing really, really well.
Yeah, you know what? I think the problem that you have with the Timberwolves is that they've always been this team that's patched with talent and never gets over the hump and never figures it out. And so even last season, you know, they finished, eighth. Eighth in the West. They were tied for eighth and ninth with at 42 and 40. They just weren't that good. And this is basically the same team, and you kept them together. You kept the coaching staff together, and you let them grow into who they can be. And to me, that's, you know, it's kind of the product of that. You're allowing a team to mature. And it's, we talk about this with the Kings all the time, the running it back mentality. For the most part, Minnesota ran it back. Not only that, they didn't make a move at the deadline. They feel like that team. But Kyle, I'm with you. They are just like one short stint away from being a team that slides. But the difference that I'll put them in a category, they're the best defensive team in the league, and it's not even close. They are
so good on defense.
Yeah, they're allowing their opponents to shoot to score 106.7 points per game. And no one else is even remotely close at all. Like in the Western Conference, there's not another team that's allowing their opponents to score less than 110.8. That's the next. Denver is 110.8. So you're looking at 4 points per game better than anyone else. And in the East, there's a couple, Cleveland's at 109.2 and New York's at 109.9. But just this is one of the most impressive defensive teams that we've seen in this modern NBA where no one plays defense. And that's where I would point out that no one else in the league is playing defense realistically, and no one in the West outside of the Minnesota Timberwolves. And that's the one thing that if we're going to talk about sustainability that I'd point to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, man. They lost their season opener to the Raptors. And then 2 games later, they lost to the Hawks. Since then, their losses are at Phoenix, home to Sacramento, at New Orleans, at Philly, at Oklahoma City, at the New York Knicks, who you just talked about, are playing really well right now. They lost to the Pelicans again. They lost in Dallas. They lost in OT to Boston. Like they lost to the Hornets, and then they lost at the Spurs by one. But beyond that, there's not a lot of losses on their schedule where you're going, man, that's a yikes.
Yeah.
Wolves. They typically just go in and take care of business. And if they're losing, they're losing to other teams who are really, really good. They haven't lost more than two in a row all year. And they've only done that twice.
That's wild. Yeah, I mean, they're really good. Really. And they're built, they're so incredibly long and athletic. But then you have sort of the chaos player and Anthony Edwards. Yeah. And so you have this ability to defend just about any team in the league. And then on top of that, you've got this ability to have somebody who just wreaks havoc and can score at every level. And so, yeah, they're impressive. They're a team that's built really well and built for the long term, Kyle. I think that would be the other thing. This isn't a team that, they could go away this season and drop back a few spots, but they're not going away. This is a team that you're going to be competing with for the next 5 years of the Sacramento Kings.
I think two other teams, maybe not the next 5 years, but certainly this year, if the Kings are going to climb back up and make a push for one of the top three or four seeds in the West, that's Oklahoma City and LA. Oklahoma City is not a huge surprise to me because it's just kind of the maximized version of what you thought they could be if everything really went right for them this year. The Clippers, though, I am shocked. I am totally stunned that the Clippers are sitting here at 36-17. And since James Harden arrived, they've been one of the best teams in basketball. That floors me.
Yeah,
I'm dead wrong on that.
Yeah, I'm with you too. I didn't think that they would be able to piece this all together. But, as much as the rules may have hurt the Philadelphia 76ers with making players play in the Joel Embiid situation, I think they've actually really helped the Clippers. Like are these guys playing, but they're building continuity quicker than they would have if they were pulling the same shenanigans they have in the last 5 years, where guys play one night and then they don't play the next, and then you're never really getting your entire team on the court. By having your entire team on the court most of the season, you're building continuity, you're moving forward, and you're building something. And to me, if I'm the rest of the Western Conference, I'm really, really worried about the Clippers. You're right. The organic growth of the Thunder is a little expected, although they were the 10th seed last year, 40-42. And they're just so young that you didn't know if they could take this leap now. And I think, a big shout out to SGA, but also to Chet and to Jalen Williams, who's been tremendous. Josh Giddey, we don't talk Josh Giddey around here a whole lot because of his off the court stuff, but my goodness, that team is they're gritty, they're they play a smart brand of basketball. Mm-hmm. They're incredibly well coached, and you can see that they have just been stacking blocks forever. And they're the one team that everyone in the league should be looking out for, because they have the potential to make some gigantic move that isn't out there right now, but could be. And that's a team you're going to always worry about, that they have, you know, again, a war chest that they can delve into to try to improve this roster. And I expect them to do it very soon.
One of the things that impresses me with OKC is how well they've supplemented their high-end talent.
Oh, yeah.
They went and got SGA. You talked about Jalen Williams, the Santa Clara version, J-Dub. Chet Holmgren, obviously, has panned out really nicely after missing all of last year. But then just guys like the other Jalen Williams, Isaiah Joe, Cason Wallace, like they just have, Lou Dort has been there for a while now. They just, there's never a lineup when I'm watching Oklahoma City where I go, well, this doesn't really make sense.
Yeah,
this player is not very good. Like, they're just all guys you can't leave open and who try their butts off.
Yeah, and I would say that they, because they have so many draft picks every year, that they have been able to kind of sift through and find, you know, flakes of gold in the bottom of the pan. You know, because when they're doing it on a mass scale. Every year they're bringing in two or three players and seeing what works and what doesn't. So they do have that kind of advantage where I think they're hitting more than most teams, but I also think they have more like swings than most teams. And so that's a big deal as well. And like the way that they've been able to build a system and build an identity as like gritty and a team that will fight you and wants to be their defensive minded group. Multi-positional players, everyone's a multi-positional player. That's really tough. You know, they're probably one or two big time pieces away from being like a true contender, but they're really close.
Yeah. Yeah, no doubt. I think the Clippers, as we had brought them up as well, Kawhi Leonard, is it 24-6-4 for the season? Shooting 52.7% from the field and 45.3% from three. Then you have Paul George, who's at 22.5-5-4, shooting 45.8% from the field and 39.3% from three. And then you have James Harden, who has settled nicely into whatever his role is, being the system, at 17.5 points. He's at 5 rebounds, 8.5 assists, and he's shooting 42.1% from three. Not to mention Norman Powell, who's hitting 45% of his 5 attempts a game.
Yeah, and as much as you talk about all those numbers, the thing I'm going to circle and point out, Russell Westbrook, 53 games. Norman Powell, 53 out of 53.
Yes.
Paul George, 50. James Harden, Kawhi Leonard, 48 each. Terrence Mann, 47 games. Like, that is the difference with this team. They're healthy. They're playing. Zubats has missed some games, but he's still at 43 games. This is a team that's built their veteran squad. They're going to be really tough.
Yeah, Zubats, Plumlee, Tice, they have a really good big rotation. It's just, if they stay healthy, they're going to be a really, really tough out in the West. Let's continue talking about this. We'll give out some midseason awards as well. Coming up on the other side of this break, that's James. I'm Kyle. We're the Insiders on ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Leader.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
All right, I remember what I was going to say at the start of the last segment that I couldn't remember, and it derailed me, and that's fine. James, did you catch the NBAI presentation from
I did.
Adam Silver?
I did not.
All right, I'm going to bring this up on the video stream. If you want to check it out at youtube.com/ESPN1320 or twitch.tv/ESPN1320. I'm just going to show this to you guys, and then we can react to it. Here's what the NBA is, while we wonder what they're going to do about, you know, the influx of offense and not letting guys play defense and touch fouls and the poor officiating and the review system and this and that. Well, what they're going to do about this, here's what Adam Silver's been working on.
NBAI, show me the Pacers game as if it were a Spider-Man movie.
Mm-hmm.
Generating. In real time. with the game.
Who is this for?
In real time.
Who is this for?
I don't know.
How much of the actual game am I missing while this is going on, too?
I have no idea. If you're listening on the radio or on the free Odyssey app, what that was if you're familiar with like Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse, it was a Pacers, and I don't even know the other team. It was a Pacers game that looked like it was from Into the Spider-Verse.
It's like they clipped a comic book and made that as like the stills of a basketball. I don't know.
Yeah, but the NBAI apparently does this to games like as they're happening.
Yeah. I don't know. I kind of want to watch.
Who is this? I'm out.
I want to watch Kings and Spurs as if they're Phineas and Ferb. Can I do that? Because I want to see Victor Wembanyama as Ferb.
How deep does this go?
I don't know.
Like how? Pause.
Wow. Like,
can I be like, yeah, hey, show me a pre-World War II, show me the Kings game in pre-World War II fashion, but in the style of a Charlie Chaplin French silent film.
Oh.
Like, is that a thing that happens? Or is it very, like, strictly movies or studios that have a deal with the NBA?
See, that's what I want to know. Can we get, like, Kings versus Warriors brought, like, Forrest Gump version or something? I don't know. There's only animated movies right here.
Who is Lieutenant? Yeah,
right.
Chris Paul is Lieutenant Dan.
Perfect.
In this reenactment. That is exactly what's happening. And Domas.
I would love to know. I would love to sit down with Adam Silver and just ask him, like, what is this for? Who is this catering to?
You know what, though? I can't. Okay. We can't roast Rob Manfred for being so ass backwards and like so detached from the modern day. But then when Adam Silver creates something that's totally wild and different, we roast him too. Like, I guess there should be a happy medium, but
you're right. There's a middle ground. There's a difference between like, hey, let's appeal to a broader audience, and hey, let's just use AI to do things to basketball games that doesn't need to be done. Do you know what would make basketball more fun to watch? If it was officiated better.
Oh, that's true.
That'd be, I don't know. Maybe there's like a sect of kids and teenagers out there that are like, I'm out on basketball unless it looks like Spider-Man, and they're gonna draw those people in. But man, and maybe this is one of those things that one day the technology is gonna be so crazy that
you can't. Yeah.
Nobody's watching the same game because everybody is watching something different.
Okay, so Kyle, here's where I could see it working. It's like 7 o'clock in the evening. You just had dinner. You want to watch the game, but your kids want to watch cartoon. And you're like, hey, I have an idea. Let's watch the game and a cartoon at the same time and see how long it takes before the kids are like, wait a sec, this doesn't make any sense. Because kids won't care. They're just going to be like, oh, this is pretty cool. Like, oh, look at that. That guy jumped. I guess, Kyle, I think that's what we're catering to here. But
this is a great point in the Chatty House by A.R. Halden. And James, this fits kind of what you were saying. They said, A.R. Halden says, I mean, those clips would work on TikTok and YouTube shorts for the younger generation. That is a great point.
Yep.
If you're going to have that and you're going to clip a Tyrese Halliburton lob to Benedict Mathurin and you're going to make it look like Into the Spider-Verse, that's great. And maybe that's ultimately what this is for. I'm just not totally sure that the live game as pick your favorite animated feature is ever going to catch on.
Yeah, I just don't understand. And plus, what's the licensing that goes into that? I don't know how that works. So I don't know. Maybe if you've created it all yourself and you're just like, it has like presets that look sort of like something like that, but aren't anywhere. They're not totally copyright infringing, but still that seems a little chaotic. I mean, I guess if you have the whole Disney catalog, I don't know.
I kind of like, show me it as a Pixar film or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. Man, I don't know. There's some really good suggestions in the chatty house. If you want to log on to youtube.com/ESPN1320 and check those out. Keep them coming. How would you want to watch an NBA game?
Well, I think I could watch a Warriors game in Shrek mode. That would be fun.
Oh, that'd be fun.
Yeah, because we know who Donkey is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We could have Chris Paul as Lord Farquaad. I think that plays.
One of the great characters in the history of children's film right there.
Yeah. Lord Farquaad.
Yes.
Lord Farquaad. Oh, man. Other surprises in the NBA for you, James, in the first half?
Other surprises for me. I think like on the bad side, like we're going to have plenty of things too, right? So I think I'm surprised. I'm surprised that the Bulls are perpetual disappointments. And the same with the Hawks. Like, they're both, like, they're just disappointing. Because you're like, man, you got a lot of talent. Talent should win in the NBA, but they're proving that talent doesn't win. And even, you go, like, diving deep into the Atlanta Hawks, like, Quinn Snyder has been a great coach forever. I don't understand how he can't go in there and try to figure out how to work within the confines of that group and make them better. But anytime you're talking about trade season and you could come up with like seven different deals for one team, be it the Bulls or the Hawks, where you're like, oh man, you know, the Kings could get Bogdanovich or DeJounte Murray or Clint Capella. And you just keep going. You're like, man, that team has a lot of talent. How come they're not winning?
When the Kings played in Atlanta, we were like, this isn't a very good team. I mean, they have Trae Young.
Yeah.
And they have DeJounte Murray. And all those names you just said, you're like, how is this team bad?
I know, the same, you're like, man.
Jalen Johnson can play?
I sure would love to have Alex Caruso. Man, he's good. Oh, you know,
Kobe White.
DeMar DeRozan, would you take DeMar DeRozan? We've had that conversation. Would you take DeMar DeRozan on your team? And I'm like, not really. But I would take Patrick Williams. And the next thing you know, you're like, boy, how are they bad? How are they not any good? And so that's one of my most surprising things, that the good teams that are good, and then there's bad teams that just figure out how to be bad and perpetually bad.
I try to limit the number of Laker fans I follow on Twitter.
Yeah.
For obvious reasons. And the Lakers media people I follow, I really try to make sure that I follow Laker people who are more down the middle and more honest than like, we're winning the championship every single year kind of thing, because that sucks. So I follow what I think good Laker media people. And they convinced me this offseason that the Lakers were just going to be a title contender. I was so in on the idea of all the moves they made and Gabe Vincent and Taurean Prince. And Austin Reeves is going to take a little bit of a reduced role. They're not going to rely on him so much, but he can still shoot it and this and that. I was just like, okay, yeah, I'm bought in. I see it. I see the vision. And it is not it.
Kyle.
They are bad. I was bamboozled. I was hoodwinked. I was led astray. And that's ultimately my fault. It's my fault for not zooming out and taking that roster for what it was.
Kyle, I told you, you can't take a group of players that are perpetual losers that do not win in other stops. And I'm not saying they're losers as in they're losers in life. They're just bad people or they're just bad basketball players. But players that have never won games and then think that you're just going to put them on a team. And hey, take LeBron James out of the equation. Like, before Anthony Davis got to LeBron James, he was the same. He was a guy who had never got his team over the hump, who had never figured it out, who always missed too many games, who always went in the locker room at halftime, didn't come back out. Like, you can't take all of those players and just think raw talent. Give me Christian Wood. Give me Rui Hachimura. Give me D'Angelo Russell. Give me all of these pieces that no one else, even, you know, everyone's talking about, oh my gosh, they went out and got Spencer Dinwiddie. Oh yeah, I remember Spencer Dinwiddie winning all kinds of stuff. Wait, no, I don't.
When they got Spencer Dinwiddie, it's like, for what? For who? For what?
Yeah.
Like, it's not going to help. More
of the same players that just can't, they don't impact winning. That's it.
And how much can you lean on? I'm not going to doubt anything LeBron can or can't do physically at this point, but he's having to play a lot of minutes and he is a lot of years old, and you have Anthony Davis now playing a lot of minutes in a lot of games. Is that going to last into May and June?
No.
If they even do make the playoffs at all. Like, that's got to be a question. I know that they were on a search for a third star, and it's like, bro, it's not there for you.
Well, and searching for a third star, like, what age point? You know, because I think that that's the other thing. Like, if we look at individual people who went to individual places, like Bradley Beal going to the Phoenix Suns, it's like, okay, you got yourself a third star. Who doesn't play? Who was ineligible for postseason awards like 25 games into the season? Right. Like, he'd already missed more than 17 games. He's already ineligible, and we're like, hey, it's still like we haven't got to Christmas yet. Like, how do you sit there and think that that's going to be the answer? And I guess what the Lakers have done, they've tried to accumulate talent that then they could hopefully trade for better talent. Because again, other teams around the league always like to just bow down to their whims and give the Lakers everybody, because you're going to end up there anyways. It's totally bizarre for me. Well, I don't hear Kyle.
Kyle muted himself.
That's my bad. I had to cough.
Yes.
And I didn't unmute. That's my fault. foul on me. That's one. I got fouls to give. I want to jump back over to the good surprising side.
Yeah.
The bad surprising side. I'm shocked by the Pacers. That they're this good.
But they're not like over the top good. I don't know.
I did not anticipate the Pacers having the most efficient offense of all time.
Okay.
It's just I thought the Pacers were one of those teams that, like, yeah, okay, maybe they're a play-in team, and maybe they, you know, maybe they get into the playoffs that way, and they're a first-round exit. But they look legitimately dangerous now. And then they push their chips in, and they go get Pascal Siakam, and they didn't really have to give up any of their major core pieces to do it. It's like, man, that's a good on the Pacers.
I would agree. I would tell you though that while we were sleeping on the Pacers, Jesse's Boston Celtics have actually moved ahead of the Indiana Pacers in offensive rating. They're now at 120.8 versus 120.5. Kyle, the fact is that no one's playing defense at all this year. I think that's one of the other surprises. Maybe it's a good surprise. I don't know, because then it makes the Kings. I mean, the fact that the Kings are middle of the road in defense, and we all watch the Sacramento Kings a lot, they're 18th in defense in defensive rating, up from, what, 24th or 25th last year. They're worse defensively this year than they were last year, but they've moved up, and that's just, it tells you just how bad everyone is. I mean,
what's more surprising to you while we're talking Pacers?
Okay,
that at the All-Star break the Pacers have 31 wins, or that the Kings have 31 wins?
It's the Kings. That's more surprising. I think the Kings have been one of the surprises of the season is that they've not been very good. I mean, they're in the same record, whatever. They haven't taken a step. That to me is one of the surprises. And it goes under the bad surprises. Like, the Kings record right now, I'm not putting that under, like, oh, look, they're above 500 for the second straight season. Man, they are clinging to life in the eighth seed.
Yeah. This is where I have a hard time, because I talked to some Kings fans who were like, dude, they are good. They are winning more games than they're losing. I will take it 16 years.
Yeah.
And that's fine. And if that's how you're enjoying the Kings, like, please do it. I love that. But I think realistically, if you're a person that was wanting to see some kind of growth and like, hey, making the playoffs is great, but like that's what teams are supposed to do. Now go be a title contender. I don't know how this the start of this season. I'm not going to say this season as a whole because we don't know what the final 28 games have hold, but they might go 20-8 and all of a sudden we're like, holy smokes, look at this team. But through the first 54, I don't know how you think it's not at least a little disappointing.
Yeah, Kyle, I don't know what would it take for this team to convince you that they're a good team, that they are a team that's gotten right and are on the right path again. Because to me, I'm questioning that. Going into the All-Star break, I'm questioning, what would it take? How would they have to turn a corner? And we got 28 games. Do they have to win 20? Do they have to win 19 and go, 19-9 and hit the 50-win mark? Is that what would convince you? Is it that, and to me, I don't want to say wins and losses don't matter. I have to see some sort of consistency, and I have to see some sort of identity. Because, you know, I keep hearing people say, oh, the Lakers found their identity. They've gone 7-1. It's like, oh, okay. I mean, the Kings just went 5-2 on a road trip. They didn't find their identity. And still, what's their identity? I'll tell you what the Lakers' identity is. If LeBron James can't go for 30, 10, and 12, they're going to lose. That's your identity. Yeah. Like, welcome to the world that's your identity.
Right, their identity. Yeah,
it's the same identity it was 5 years ago.
Players have to play like their two best players.
Yeah, see, your identity is identical to what it was 5 years ago, except for your star is now 39. That's your identity. Yeah. Like outside of that, I don't know what it is. So, one time I would like to see a team. I would like to see a team build a roster around LeBron James that was the right roster. Just once. Like, and we're going to run out of time before that happens. But
dude, I was told the Lakers did that.
No,
I was
Kyle.
Told Gabe Vincent and Rui Hachimura and Torian Prince are surrounding him with shooters and off ball and secondary ball handlers with Austin Reeves and with D'Lo. And oh my gosh, look at these guys. Actually, D'Angelo Russell. There's already a D'Lo on this station. Sorry. But with D'Angelo Russell, and look at all the stuff they've done for LeBron. And it's just still not good enough.
No, it's just the wrong group. It is like,
what's the right group? Klay Thompson and Buddy Hield.
Well, no, I'll tell you. Okay. So first of all, Klay Thompson. Sure.
Shout out to Clay, by the way, 35 off the bench last night.
Yeah, he was impressive off the bench. No, what I would like to see them do, I think that's one thing about Monty McNair that I totally dig, that he saw who his stars were very quickly, and he went out and handpicked like five or six other players to play alongside those guys that would complement them. Now, mm-hmm. Has he been perfect? No, because they still don't have the shot blocker. They still don't have the long athletic defensive guy, but like those guys don't grow on trees, and you're having a difficult time filling one position. But mm-hmm. if you put LeBron James on the Sacramento Kings and just say you swapped him out for either one, De'Aaron Fox or Domantas Sabonis, mm-hmm. like that's a team that it and Monty McNair built it for two other dudes, but right. That's how you could have built it. And it's the same thing. I keep watching the Dallas Mavericks, who can't build the team for Luka. They can't. Mm-hmm. They can't figure it out. And you know who it isn't? It's not Kyrie Irving. That's not the right fit. He's a star, and you get to say you have a star, but that's not mm-hmm. how you build around a star. And that's where I think, realistically, when you look at Monty's upbringing in the NBA through the Rockets, it just stands out. It stands out completely you went out and you star chased, but you found stars that fit together, and then after you found those stars, you just built the other guys out, whether it was through the G League or through minimum scale contracts or whatever it was. You found ways to build the other pieces out, and that's where if I'm, you know, the Kings, I'm looking at Monty long term and saying, okay, do it again, like continue to do that. And it wasn't just all Monty and Houston, but that's how he's brought up in the league.
Yeah, and I think that Houston team, they had James Harden and they had Chris Paul for a beat, but And then they had Dwight Howard, I guess, early on in that
They had Harden and Dwight together.
Mid-2010s. Yeah. But it was a lot of the Trevor Ariza's and the Eric Gordon's and the PJ Tucker's and the Daniel House's and just finding guys that, yep, you can spread them out to the corner. You can let your stars work. And when the defense collapses, there's a guy over there that can hit a three.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's, I mean, isn't that just kind of the Kings? They're just a kind of souped up version of that.
Yeah. No, I mean,
it's the move.
Yeah, that's how you have to build a team. Go back to the old Houston Rockets with Hakeem Olajuwon and Otis Thorpe in the post, and then you just built all of these, you know, you brought in Mario Elie, you brought in Robert Orr, you brought in Bullard, you brought in, like, all of these elite shooters to surround them, and then you could still have a Clyde Drexler. They could they could take people off the dribble and attack in different ways, but you had to do first is, again, Sam Cassell. You had all these guys. You have to build out the spacing for players like LeBron. And it seems so simple, but man, it sure is difficult. It sure is difficult for the Lakers to actually get it right.
You brought up the Kings in the second half and like what amount of wins they would need to get to be like, this is a good team. But you said something really important in there that I think it requires a lot of nuance. And you said the wins don't necessarily matter.
Mm-hmm.
And there's obviously like a threshold, right? They can't go they can't go 4-24, but
yeah,
you know, whether it's 19-9 or 18-10 or 21-7, whatever the number is, I think for me in the second half, and we'll talk about this more with the Kings later on, but it's just avoiding those 2-3 game stretches where they look like they've never played basketball together before. Or where they look like there's literally anywhere they'd rather be than on a basketball court that night.
Yeah.
And just competing night in and night out. I mean, we saw them compete like heck in Phoenix. Okay, they didn't pull out a win, but you'll take that kind of game. And then you saw them, they didn't even play well against Denver, but they grinded their way to a win. And that's what I would like to see, just that competitiveness. And I think that ultimately for this team over their final 28, they have some really tough games. They also have some not so tough games in there. I don't think it's crazy that they go 19-9, or wait, that's the math, right? 19-9 or 18-10 or something like that. I don't think that's off the table at all. But they have to they need to be a better version of they need to be the team they were the last two games for the rest of the way for me to be like, okay, they're here.
Yeah. Okay. So, Kyle, they've had 1 4-game losing streak all season, right? Outside of that, they've been relatively consistent with, you know, how they win and lose games. Like they just went through a stretch where they lost 4 out of 5, but that was coming off a stretch where they won 6 out of 7. And right. I think for me, it really doesn't come down to can they string together like an 8-game win streak. It really comes down to can they show up every night and actually play. And at the end of the day, when you look at the record and you think, okay, you can have a couple of bad games in the second half. Mm-hmm. Let's just put the number 3, right? You can have 3 bad games where you just don't bring it that night. That doesn't mean that you're going to win the other 25.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't have a game every week or every 2 weeks that is such a dud that sets you back so far that makes you fodder for people like you and I.
Yep.
That's what you can't do. So.
Yeah. You have to come out, you have to beat the Spurs, and then at the Clippers on Sunday, February 25th, like that's when I circle where if they lose that game 113-111 because Kawhi hit a 3 at the buzzer, but the Kings played really well, like, okay, you lost that game, but you played well. That's kind of what I'm looking for. But if they come out and they go at home against San Antonio and San Antonio beats them by 10, it's like that's not good. That's not where you want to be.
No. So start playing taps. That's what you do right there.
It's definitely a vibes thing, and fans know. Like the you can see it. Go on Twitter after a Kings game. Like fans will tell you exactly how what the vibe is with the Kings based on the. The results. So
I love Kings fans. I love Kings
they're
fans.
They're really great. Yeah. I really like you guys a lot. Yeah. This is fun. Let's continue this discussion. We'll give out some midseason NBA awards. We'll do them around the league. We'll do them for the Kings. We'll have some superlatives for the Kings. All that's coming up next. Stay locked in to ESPN 1320. Sacramento Sports Leader.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.